Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, interesting series on handle those unique assets in your estate plan. They can be planned for.
Yes.
Those plans need to be unique, as we say. And you are a very big believer in that none of this templated stuff, particularly when it comes to this subject.
Oh, yeah. When we start talking about unique assets and very strong family emotional desires, templates just are simply not going to work. And I kind of went into a little bit of a rant last show. You can find that at legacyandfaith.com about how templates really are something to be wary of, because you are not the same person as your next door neighbor. You don't have the same family dynamics. You don't have the same kids. The children don't have exactly the same financial capacity, the same anything else. And so how does one template work for both sets of families when they're not even similar on almost any level? So templates, I don't like them. And unfortunately, many attorneys still use templated documents. They'll just move names out. You could take off the first page. You could take off the last page. First page is where the trust maker or the creator's name is, and then the last page is where your signature is. And you know, even with trusts, and it's just not wills that are templated, I see way too many trusts that are just looking very much the same. And you could take out just a few pages, and it's the same thing that the other person who walked out of the law firm received. It doesn't even matter whether it's 10 pages long or 100 pages long. It looks all the same. So templated documents are really not going to accomplish the feat. They are going to accomplish something. They're going to move assets, and it's better to have some voice in the process than no voice at all, because then Washington state law just takes over. No, Washington state does not take everything. It's just that the law has determined that if you do not do estate planning, that Washington state has determined in their infinite wisdom of what is in your family's best interest. Therefore, we don't want the law just to simply rubber stamp what is to happen. It's better to use some type of documentation than no documentation, but it's actually much, much better if you have a document and an estate plan that is specifically created for you. And we've been talking about unique assets. And so, yes, if we have unique assets, what are unique assets? Things like vacation properties, whether that is a home on a lake, whether it is a timeshare. In other words, it's something where family gatherings took place and a lot of family time and emotional time happened. Oftentimes, the children have their deepest memories embedded in that property. So how do we pass that off? How do we afford it? That's what we talked about in our last show. And we're going to start talking about we talked about farmland as well and the deep emotional connection, but yet there may not be someone who is able to work the land and manage it in the same way that current owners or real estate rentals. There may be a strong desire to pass off rentals, but yet there may not be somebody who has the skill set to manage it. And we didn't even talk about the tax issues in farmland and the tax issues in business and having multiple properties. So there's a lot of potential complications when we own unique assets that need to be addressed. Family issues, emotional issues, inequity in value of if one person runs the farm or has the skill set to manage the rental units, but no one else does, then how do we hold up all of the value in the farmland or in the rentals, but yet only one person is managing it? So there's a lot of family issues that we need to work out. These are unique assets that typically require much more planning and deeper conversations. Look, if you have a bank account and you have an investment and you have an IRA, and that's what you have in a home, that we're going to sell when you pass
unique.
Away.
Right.
Those aren't unique. I know how to divide the value of a home after it's sold and we have cash. That's not unique. It's not a difficult proposition. So unique assets are things that hold deep emotional and or long-term family value, or could be extremely valuable monetarily that consume a majority or most of the estate. And so these are things that we've been talking about. And the next one is kind of right along what I have as well, which is business ownership. So I own a law firm. What does it look like if something happened to me? And business owners, if you're a business owner, you're going to understand what this means. So I have two biological children, but I have three children in actuality because my business is my third child.
Third child.
And so it's just the way that it happens. So I've put in my blood, sweat, and tears. I created my law firm from the ground up. When I moved back from Michigan after going to law school, I did not have one client. I did not have one professional relationship. I started a law firm from absolute zero. So now that 15 years later, when I have a very strong client base, when I have been blessed with having a strong firm now, boy, I could tell you story after story of sacrifices and difficulties of months that I had employees to pay, but I couldn't pay myself because the firm was not doing as robust as what most people think. Attorneys just make, you know, money hand over fist. No, I'm a business owner like every other business owner out there. And there are times when things are good and there are times when it's difficult. And when you go through that as a business owner, when you put in everything and have tried to build something that is going to provide for your family and potentially even last longer than you, and that's my passion. I want to raise up some other attorneys that want to take over the law firm so that it's bigger than just Paul Grant, that it lasts longer than just me. I want to leave a legacy to the community, not just to my family. And so business owners often have this mentality in mind, and they don't want to just sell it off to anyone. They don't want to sell it off just to the next door, you know, to whoever just comes along, to the big corporations. Now, sometimes that's what we want to do because there's bigger money in that. And maybe that was one of the objectives. Fine. But, you know, take someone like me. And I just made a statement that I want to have something that lasts in the community much longer than who I am, than longer than what I'm going to be able to work for. In order to do that, I have to be very strategic in passing off my company. And so what if you have children that are being raised up in the business? So I have many clients that own businesses and they've raised up their children in the business and the children have worked in the business. And now it's time to start passing and handing off the business structure to the children. Now, both of my girls have broken my heart and said that neither of them will go to law school. They don't want dad's business. But so I need to raise up somebody that is close to me that would be able to hand off.
You need to find your Elisha.
Yes.
By the way, Elijah, he had to give him a double blessing.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely.
Using a biblical term.
And I would like to actually get some value out of what I've worked beyond just the monthly paycheck, right? And so now all of a sudden, if we start talking about business owners, this takes very strategic planning, both on the business structure side and on the estate side. So both the business and the estate plan must speak the same thing. And I've seen very, very few, almost no estate plans that have ever taken the time with business owners to ensure that the estate plan is saying the exact same thing as the business plan is. They must cooperate together. And unfortunately, what I hear is, oh, the business attorney did the plan, and now I have this estate plan, and they weren't done with the same mentality. They weren't done with the same language. They weren't done with the same vision. They were done independently of each other. That's a difficult proposition to make sure that everything is going to work properly when we have separate instruments not speaking the same language. So bringing those together to ensure that they say the same thing, are moving in the same direction, and are blended together is very, very important. Hmm. Business owners, so there's two categories that I talk about a lot that must do estate planning. Number one, business owners. Hmm. So if you are a business owner, please pull your head out of your business for a moment. I know what it's like. I work very hard. I know what it's like to have a business kind of run your life sometimes, unfortunately. I get it. I know that you got to keep things moving forward, but get your head up and out of your business for a moment and make sure that your business structure is blending with your estate planning. You have really, really good estate planning done. It is critical for your family's success. Then, similarly, I've talked about blended families. So there's the other category that if you're a blended family, you are walking into a hornet's nest if one of you passes away, if you don't have really good specific estate planning done. Mm. So those are the two categories that I talk a lot about on this radio show. Please do really good estate planning. Make sure that your business is also aligned with your estate plan and vice versa. This is what I believe I do very well, which is I take both units and I pull them together to make sure that it's moving in the same direction and that it's going to be well blended so that things work out as the business owner sees for their future. So I don't know if someone in the family is being raised up. We talked about how farmland, if one child wants to work the land, but none of the other kids do. Same thing with the business. What if one child wants to work in the business, but the other children don't have any interest in it? Then all of a sudden, the business is beholden to one beneficiary, or the other siblings are just hoping that the one sibling doesn't run the business into the ground, because then there goes their entire inheritance. So how do you create equality when someone dies and they have a business interest and it's not going to be managed by the family as a unit? It's going to be managed by one person. Mm. Or worse, we have to sell a business, but we had no plan before somebody passed away. So business owners, you work hard. There is a higher risk. We carry a lot of stress in our life. So health issues are oftentimes secondary to us. And because, again, we've got to concentrate on the business. So therefore, business owners, we need to talk a lot about how to make sure that this unique asset that you've poured all of your life, all of your energy, your blood, sweat, and tears into this additional child that you have. And we want that to make sure we get the greatest value for your family and potentially even carry it on. How does that look? What does it mean to actually carry it on properly? Boy, if you don't do really good, specific estate planning for business owners, it could be very, very difficult at the end if you become incapacitated and can't work the business, or if you suddenly passed away and we didn't have a plan to elicit the right people in the right place for the full value.
Yeah, that is a unique approach. I've never really heard somebody consider the business plan and the personal plan that they need to talk to each other. They need to be sort of integrated.
Yeah, business attorneys will do a good job about making provisions. What happens if I die? But now there's a secondary document off to the side controlling the rest of the estate. Mm. My proposition is that these all have to work together, not individually.
Okay, well, if you like the way Paul thinks about this, unique assets, how to handle them in your estate plan, you need some help from him, how do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Head over to my website, legacyandfaith.com, and there's past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us, and it's all found at legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Can I avoid probate? Will I lose everything if my health becomes compromised? How do I preserve what I have for me and my family? Will the government take it all? This is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. These are some of the most common questions we get on a daily basis, and there are solutions for all of these issues. It is time for you to protect your family and what God has placed under your stewardship, and we can help. Go to legacyandfaith.com to find out more about our services and upcoming educational opportunities. That's legacyandfaith.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, looking at how to handle those unique assets in your estate plan. Talked about different kinds of real estate and businesses, and now moving on to what I think people sometimes more traditionally think of, and that's stuff.
Yeah.
How to handle stuff.
Yeah.
Collections, unique. That in our
right,
family,
the Asian rug.
I mentioned the Asian rug. There was also a mink coat.
Oh, yeah.
You know, what do you
do
with that?
Yeah.
You know, and so
only one person can wear it at a time.
Yeah. So how do you handle these unique assets in your estate planning?
Yeah, and these can also have a very sentimental value. Maybe not a lot of actually monetary value, but a lot of sentimental value. Things that have been passed down through the generations. And what I tend to see is that in a lot of families, there's one person who kind of becomes the next person to take on the heritage of the family. Not everyone has this interest, right? So not everyone sits down and looks at their computer and starts trying to chase their genealogy or takes trips to their native lands to go through old records and walk where maybe their great-great-great-grandparents came from and all this. But there are some people who are deeply motivated by legacy, by that thought process of where did I come from and what was the legacy like? What are the names? And these are the ones that are going to have a deeper appreciation for actually receiving some of the family heirlooms and will probably safeguard them, keep them, upkeep them, and make sure that they get passed to someone else in the family. Mm. Oftentimes what I see here is that it may not actually be one of your children. So I have three brothers, and at this stage, my nieces and nephews, they're the oldest is only 32, so everyone's in their 20s right now for the bulk of them. That's pretty young, at least in what I've seen, for someone to take a deep interest in where did I come from, what's my legacy, because they're still trying to get married off, they're having kids, they're trying to find their jobs, and so there's a lot of other things that people think about in their 20s. Mm. But if somebody took a very deep interest in it, and that interest started to show itself in one of the nieces and nephews, then, but let's say that neither of my girls have a deeper sentimental family value of looking and holding on to family heirlooms. It's just something that would be a bother to them. Well, I might want to actually pass it off to the niece or nephew that has the greater interest. So when we talk about family heirlooms, it may actually take a little of a little bit of a spider web to find the right person who is going to caretake it. And sometimes you don't have that person. I have a flag in my office. A U.S. flag, and it is folded up and it is encased and it sits behind me. And so when I have a Zoom meeting, this flag is behind me, and many people have gone on to a Zoom session with me and go, "Oh, what about the flag? Tell me about that. Why do you have that?" And I go, "Well, actually, it was one of my clients, and I was the one who was the caretaker of the estate. So they have just a son. They have one son, and he has shown no interest in anything at all. And there was just no way I could let this flag just go into anyone's hands. Mm. So I became the caretaker of this because I know the story. The client told me the story about this flag. Mm. And so so now all of a sudden I took on the sentimental value for even a client because it has that much value. It has absolutely no monetary value. But there's no way that I'm going to let something of such significance to him just be put into the goodwill. And so I am holding it for his son at any time that he would come, or granddaughter if she were to show any interest, but neither of them do. So I'm going to caretake it. Well, who in the family has that same sentimental caretaking value of something that was passed down the home? So this may be something that you have to talk to the family about. Find that one child, find the niece or nephew that has that value so that we can get the right things to the right people so that it can be caretaken for generations. Others have antique cars. Now, antique cars have been very difficult for my practice. I can tell you several stories, but oftentimes it's a hobby and it's not an emotional connection. Now, not unless you have one of the Mustangs from the 60s, then everything becomes emotional. Right. But unless you and valuable. But a lot of people collect cars because it's what their interest is. They're a mechanic. They've just enjoyed cars. They've had some extra cash, and so they purchase these. And so far, I have seen that somebody wants one specific car, not because mom or dad really liked the car, but because it has the greatest value. Mm. So that becomes problematic. So having specific vehicles detailed in an estate plan could be very wise also. Making sure that we don't have a family explosion over the one vehicle that mom or dad really loved, and that started it all, right? That they found their childhood car, their first car that they ever drove, and now it's a collector's item, and it is also very valuable. So typically when we're going to be giving gifts like this, many clients want to make sure that the value of that item is taken off of the other value that someone would receive. So let's say that we had a $100,000 car, and the money was supposed to be divided, and everyone was to get exactly $1 million because I have to use exact numbers. So what we would do is we would make sure that the child got the car, the $100,000 plus $900, so that the value of the car became a part of the value of their inheritance. Mm-hmm. That also helps in keeping any type of arguments or hurt feelings off the board. They now, may have gotten the car, but they didn't get extra
value. Why would
that
be complicated? That sounds pretty cut and dried to
me. Well, it because
multiple people want
because
the car?
Very few people actually ask because they don't have the family conversation, Mark. We don't do a good job of bringing the family into these unique asset moments. A lot of times the patriarch is simply making the decision from the top down. It's almost like running a business. The boss makes all the decisions and the worker bees just do everything. Mm-hmm. That's oftentimes how many families operate, unfortunately, which is the questions are never asked. Who would really want this? Would you want – but if I give you this, then we've got to get it appraised. It's actually harder to get cars appraised than you might imagine.
Really?
So getting them appraised, having people not throw a temper tantrum over the appraisal. Mm. So there's so many things that could go wrong. Artwork tends to be the same way.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah,
who knows what some of these are? You find out after the fact, oh, that artwork was really worth $100,000.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And all of a sudden we just pulled it off the wall and it's just like, no, wait a minute. That wasn't what we thought. We thought, right, you hear these stories of somebody buying something at a garage sale. And then the last one I'll mention, because we're running out of time, unfortunately, are firearms. So
really? Firearms?
We don't live in Texas where firearms are, kind of a religion. But yes, Firearms are something that people want to make sure the right people. As a matter of fact, there's legal issues that need to be worked out with firearms as well, because certain people are not allowed to to own firearms in Washington state. It's the law. So then how do we create a safe place, a safety net around the trustee or around the estate plan to make sure that the right people get the right firearms so that – you know, it'd be a good thing if a trustee or a personal representative doesn't actually commit a felony. I don't know.
Wow.
So so let's make sure that the plan deals with all these very unique assets in the right way. A template can't work. We got to sit down. We got to do really strong estate planning.
Okay, how to handle those unique assets in your estate plan. Paul specializes in this, and if you like the way he thinks on this subject and you want some more help from him, how do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Well, head over to my website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us, and it's all found at legacyandfaith.com.
It's the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.